Amen. Everybody say the importance of putting God first. Now, the whole Word of God, I could read the Bible from beginning to end right now from my scripture setting, because this is what the Word teaches. God came first. God made everything, and He requires everything to be subject to the one that made it. The whole duty of man, according to the wisest man who ever lived other than Jesus Christ, is to serve God and to do what God says. The wording is, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So everything else is second. Everything else comes after the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man is to put God first. All through history, people have tried to put God a little behind something else. It's quite common to hear people say, well, family first, then church. But really, you may not get to keep your family if you don't put church, which is God, first. I'm not saying that the church building is God or that the gathering of the people who serve God is God. But when I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, which is God, something beyond the building, something beyond the gathering of people. There is absolute perfection in God's church. There is not one problem in the church. There is no sin in the church. There's no division in the church. There's no lacking for anything in the church. There's no need of anything at all in the church. Now, we have churches, of which this is one of them, which has a need, and many needs. We could talk about how each individual has a lot of needs, and how that there are many concerns, and there are many problems, and many, you know, things that we may not agree on always. But when I'm talking about the church, God's church, I'm talking about something that's universal around the world. And this is God's presence, where two or three come together in the name of the Lord, that's God's church. Amen. 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 In the name of the Lord, where we gather, no matter where we are, that's God's church. And God has placed an order in His church, and that is to have these gifts of God, apostles and prophets and teachers and preachers. He has placed all this in the church. And if you want to know who your apostle is, look in the Word of God and find the apostles of the Lamb appointed by God to be an apostle. Those are the apostles to the church. Everybody else that calls himself an apostle may not be an apostle, but you can read the Word of God and find out who the apostles are who have been given as gifts to the church. Everybody who claims to be a prophet may not be a prophet, but you can find some prophecies in the Word of God, and those who prophesied the prophecies, the prophets. If they are in the Word of God and recognized to be prophets according to God, consider them to be your prophets, and let every other man be possibly one who tells the truth, or maybe not. Because a lot of people trying to be prophets today are no more than fortune tellers. I mean, anybody can play these guessing games. God's church is not traditional, like the order of what people want church to be. And God is not like most people want to believe God to be. He's just what He always was. Just God is a spirit. God is seeking for true worshipers. God is a spirit, and He's seeking for true worshipers. True worshipers. Everybody say true worshipers. That's the opposite of false worshipers. That's deep. True worshipers. The Father is seeking for true worshipers to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must. Everybody say must. That is not a suggestion. That is a requirement. Everybody that worships the Father must. This is God speaking, not me speaking. I'm just repeating the Word of God. Everybody that comes to the Father to worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And any other thing that's called worship If it's not true worship and it's not in the truth, it's not what God is talking about. He's talking about those who will listen to the Word of God and obey the Word of God. And when we start really pinning it down, the number of people who are doing this gets smaller and smaller and smaller. No wonder God said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Because many times you can see the large crowds going to what they call a church. But it turns out that only a few, if any, are worshiping God in truth. Amen? And when you start talking like this, then this judgmental crowd of sinners rises up and say, you're judging us. But you see, they get it backwards. And the truth of the matter, the judgment that you're not supposed to use is what they're doing. I mean, if you're a sinner and you're not serving God, if you're not serving Him in truth, then you are a sinner. If you haven't obeyed His required instructions, then you're still a sinner. Doesn't mean you're really a bad person. It just means you're just not you're not fixed up yet. You've got some problems that need to be worked out. And so God did not send sinners to judge the saints. But God is a righteous judge, and He said in His Word that His church, His people, would be invited to sit on His throne and judge the world with Him. We are kings and priests with Him. And His throne is not just something we're going to look for someday. I'm not waiting till I get to heaven to find the throne of God. I already found it. It's in the church. It's in the church. When you go to church, if you can accept it, if you can receive it, you are meeting at the throne of God. Now, I have friends, so-called friends, I guess I should say, on the internet, who call that vain babbling when I talk like this. When we go to church, I still say, even though some have criticized me for saying it, we are meeting in the city of God. Because the Word of God says that we are. We have come into a great city, the city of the great King. We have come into the church. A church where angels are innumerable. It is a place where God is. Praise God. Where God is, you can also find the throne of God. Where God is, you can also find the King that sits upon the throne. Where God is, you can find judgment which begins at the house of God. We are sent here by the King of Kings to be able to look upon the needs and have proper judgment. Hallelujah. It's not that we are the judges that are trying to say, you're wrong and you're wrong and I judge you to be wrong. No, the great judge has spoken, and we have been called to be witnesses unto Him. And I am a witness that some people who are trying to judge others are out of their place. First, get in the church. And getting in the church is not just coming to church. I'm talking about get in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not just going to become one someday when you get to heaven. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature right now. Old things are passed away. This is the Word of God. It's not someday when I get to heaven only that old things are going to be gone. No, as soon as you get yourself saved, old things are passed away. All things that influence you to sin, all things that will cause you to go astray, everything that you clung to and held on to and felt like you had to have it, it's gone. Hallelujah. It is gone. You are severed from it. God set you free with the truth. The truth has a cutting edge. It is a two-edged sword. It cuts you out of the world, and it cuts you into the kingdom of God. And there is no connection with the way it was and the way it is. Old things have passed away. And behold, this is saying, look at this. And behold, take a look around you. All things have become new. I've got a new ambition. I've got a new outlook on life. I have new desires. I have something in me that I've never known before because the world didn't give this to me. I didn't get this from the world. The attachments that I have in my life are not anything like I had when I was in the world. I used to think I had to have this, had to have that, had to depend on this, had to depend on that. But now that you're set free, now that all things are new, your only dependence is the one that set you free. You depend on Christ. He requires that everybody that was an influence in your life, who is still in the world, be forsaken. Including mamas, daddies, brothers, sisters, and best friends. Now, this is kind of deep for some, because if you're not in the kingdom of God, the blockage called the human brain stands in the way so that you can't see what I'm talking about. And the deafness, which is your human ears, cannot hear what the Spirit is saying into the church. But I'm going to say it anyway. Except you're willing to give up mama, daddy, children, houses, lands, and all your friends, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can go to church, but you can't be in it. Hallelujah. But what God does when He saves us, when you're truly saved, I'm talking about saved in spirit and truth, having repented of sins and got rid of sin, and now sin is out of your life, having been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, repentance and remission of sin, and it's all gone, and having received the Spirit of Christ, replacing that old human nature that always took you in the wrong direction, now you have the Spirit of Christ, which brings with it the mind of Christ and the way of Christ and the ability of Christ and the strength of Christ and all the things that Christ would have us do, the ability to do it because we have His power. Now that you're here, hallelujah, you have eyes to see, but they're not these eyes. You have ears to hear, but they're not these ears. You have thoughts that are not your thoughts. And even your brain can't comprehend what it is that you're deciding to do because you have decided to make Jesus your first choice. Hallelujah. But when you rise up a little higher and you get the Spirit of Christ in you, then you realize, hey, the only good thing I could do for mama was to put God first. And God's way of saying it, He just says, except you hate them, you can't make it. But when we look at all the meanings of that and all the ways that God's language and our language brings it all together, it's just saying that you got to put God first and nothing else matters. But when you put God first, He puts a love in your heart that gives you ability to win mama to God and to help them get set free from the ways of the world and the ties to the world. Hey, we're in the world, but once we get in the church, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We've got a kingdom that's above this world. We've got a king over us who's higher than all the kings and higher than the president. We're in a holy nation. We're a peculiar people, and the world doesn't know what to do with us. Hallelujah. Just not an ordinary one of those churches like everybody else goes to. This is an experience. It's real. It's a real God. And there's only one way to serve Him, and that's in spirit and in truth. And every other way is a lie, and it's going to take you down. It's going to take you down. And if you're going to be religious, if you're going to be in the church, but not really all the way in the church, then you're going to be like some have come and gone. They come for a while, but when things don't go exactly like they want it to, then they may curse you out and not be your friend anymore. These things are common because the world expects one thing. God requires something else. Hallelujah. You can't be saved unless God saves you. Thank you, Jesus. You can't be redeemed unless the blood of the cross cleanses you and sanctifies you and makes you holy. You can't serve God unless you serve Him His way. So many people come along and say, here's what your church needs to do. If I was a pastor there, here's the way I would do it. Newcomers come along many times and they say, let me tell you what all you're doing wrong. No, that's my job. I'm your gift from God. I'm one of them, one of many. You may get your chance, but right now, I've been appointed to tell you, some ways are wrong, other ways are right. Some things are good, some things are bad. God is right, and sin is not right. You know what? I can't force anybody to live for God, but I can sure invite you to. I can't force anybody to go to my birthday party, but if I had one and invited you, I would like you to come. Praise God. I can't make anybody receive the Holy Ghost, but I sure would like for you to. If I could put it on you, I would. But if I had that kind of power in my own flesh or in my own way of doing things, I would just spend all my time giving everybody the Holy Ghost. But God hasn't given us that ability. He tells us that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I've laid hands on the sick many times and they didn't recover. But that didn't make God a liar. It just meant that God has His way. And when you do it God's way and you have the prayer of faith and you have the right things going on, the person being prayed for has come for the right reasons, really hungry, really having some faith, really believing God's going to do it. It always requires some faith, not just from the one doing the praying, but for the one that has the need in your life. Many times Jesus said, according to your faith. Because of your faith, talking to the sick person, talking to the blind person, talking to the one that had the palsy, one that had the terrible disease, the leprosy, because of your faith, according to your faith, God is making a difference in your life. And so we come and say, well, pray for me because the Bible says you lay hands on me and I'll recover from the terrible things going on in my life. And I lay hands on you, it doesn't happen. And you just say, well, I'm through with God because He lied to me. No, you just missed it all. You looked through the wrong eyes, you heard through the wrong ears, and you received something with the wrong brain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But if you humble yourself, and you ask Him, and you seek Him, and you knock at His door, He's a yes God. He's a I will God. Hallelujah. He is an answering God. He is a door-opening God. He's a present help in the time of trouble, God. He's a way-maker when there's no way that you can make it, God. He's a problem-solver when your life is filled with problems, God. Thank you, Jesus. So why wouldn't we want to put Him first in our life when all the answers that we're seeking for is in His presence? You can try everything else. That's why they have all the liquor stores. Spirits on the inside, they say, on the side. Go there and get some of that spirit. And there's that thing that says, well, it makes a little bit of sense. Drink that stuff, feel better. But, you know, nobody wants to talk too much about how it seems the next day after you didn't know where you were last night. You might feel better for a moment. But you know what? I don't get it. Blacking out, losing consciousness, vomiting on the street, being nasty, not knowing where you are, what you're doing, and waking up with a headache. That's what the world offers you, and they call that the spirit. I would much prefer, and this makes sense to me, going to church and acting like those that may get intoxicated and maybe cause some to say, they're drunk. And hear somebody say, no, they're not drunk as you suppose. This is something that's being poured out by God. We might stagger around a little bit, but we're not going to go to bed and not know where we are. We're going to know where we are tonight. Amen. We might get exhausted jumping around and running and praising God. We might get out of breath and sweat, but tomorrow we're still going to feel good. Thank you, Jesus. Still going to feel good. Then the world says, well, take some of this, take some of this. This will calm your nerves. I want to tell you something. This world will offer you something for anything that's wrong with you, even if they don't know it'll help you, just to get you to take it so that you'll pay the bill and get out of the air. Some of the medicines being are prescribed to people, my friends, to help them, is actually causing them problems. They were better off before they took the medicine. Now they depend on the medicine, and that's what's wrong with them now. And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going to tell you to quit taking the medicine. But look, if you can't think straight, and if you can't walk right, you got to depend on some substance of this world that has all kinds of side effects. What you really need is Jesus. What you really need is Jesus. He will set you free from drug addiction. He will set you free from alcoholism. He will set you free from depending on man. He will set you free from having to have it your way all the time. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. We need Jesus. Everybody say, we need Jesus. And I'm not talking about just a Jesus that's fictitious or some story. I'm not talking about something that somebody has thought up and made some movie about. I'm talking about the real Jesus, who's also known as the Holy Ghost, who's also got a body he calls his church. And he's got a people for his name's sake. And the people for his name's sake are Jesus' name people. They baptize in Jesus' name. They pray for the sick in Jesus' name. They exalt the name of Jesus. Those are the people of his name. How dare anybody claim to be the people of his name when they won't even baptize in his name, and they've been commanded to do it over and over, and the examples in the Word of God are there. And yet they say, we're God's people. You're not God's people. You're not God's anything. You're God's sinners, known as goats, going to hell. That's what you are. As diplomatic as I know how to make it. That's cutting edge stuff. But I'm going to tell you, you can't go to most churches and get this message. So I'm going to tell it to you while you're listening. If you don't get Jesus in your life, you're not going to heaven. That's nicer to say it that way. Same difference, though. If you're not going to heaven, only leaves one place. One person said, I don't think I want to go to heaven. It's going to be, you know, my enemy's going to be there. If she's going to be there, I don't think I want to be there. It's a crazy world we live in. People think crazy thoughts. I've heard others say, I might as well go to hell because all my friends will be there. There's not going to be any parties there, my friend. Nobody's going to have a party in hell. And if all your friends are going to be there, you won't recognize them. And you're going to be lonely. As one of my friends said, hell's a cold, cold place. You burn like crispy critters, but you have no love, no friends, and no God. Wouldn't you rather go to heaven? So I just think it's really nice for me to be able to warn you and say, if you're not Jesus' name, you're going to hell. This is a love message tonight. To set you free from going to hell so you can go to heaven. What's wrong with that? To tell it like it is, or to say, go to the church of your choice, let them lie to you, and you're all right, and then end up in hell myself for lying to you. No, I would rather go ahead and do the commandment of God and let God's word be true. Let the chips fall where they will. And if anybody wants to be saved, let's take our 25 that still decided to follow Jesus and keep going. Let's praise Him, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody say, God first. Everything else after that. Thank you, Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, when a question was asked in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? That was the beginning of the church. What was happening in that upper room was the beginning of God's church. All Christian-minded people who call their meeting place a church claim that as the beginning of the church. All denominations claim what happened in Acts, the second chapter, in the upper room. That experience was the beginning of the church. And that was it. That's when God brought His church together and started in that upper room. And the crowd on the outside, the sinners, were saying, "So, what shall we do?" After all the discussions about maybe they're drunk, they're acting crazy. Some of them were mocking. Some were trying to make fun of them. But then they finally settled down and decided something serious is going on here. And it was noisy inside that building. Nobody was in there saying, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And nobody was saying a sinner's prayer and repeating after anybody. Nobody was shaking the preacher's hand trying to get saved. Nobody was signing a card. Nobody was honking a horn. But it was noisy in there. It was noisy in there. Hallelujah. That was the beginning of the church. And what drew the people to that place was the noise. I mean, those folks had been in that room for several days. But when they started making that noise, it was like a rushing mighty wind. It was like a tornado. They could hear it all around, and the word started to spread. Something's going on over there. Something's going on over there in that place. You know what it was? It was worship to God. It was praise to God. It was people moving forward and not drawing backward. It was people wanting to sit on the front seat if possible. It was people wanting to be the first one to testify as soon as there's an opening. It was people ready to do whatever it takes to get to heaven. People ready to do anything, go anywhere, be whatever God wants me to be. They were there in one mind and one accord. And when that finally erupted, they were in such a state of praise and worship that they didn't care what it sounded like. They went beyond themselves praising God. And it was loud. It was louder than it is here tonight. This is something that God wants to be loud. Noisy. Because without this, you won't make it. Everybody needs to hear the sound of Pentecost. Everybody needs to hear the sound of hands clapping. Everybody watching on the internet and visiting the church needs to see people up at the front waiting on the preacher to get through, not so they can go home, but so they can get up here and make noise and praise God. Nice little hand clap. Thank you. Thank you very much. How about clapping to the Lord one time? I don't think we ever have done it in our lives. Try it. See if you can. I don't hear it yet. I still don't hear it. You clap louder than that at a ball game. Still don't hear it. I don't think God hears it yet. Is anybody wanting to clap for God? Try raising your voice, a voice of triumph. Try sounding like you think they might have sounded when they were thankful for the Holy Ghost. Thankful that God was moving. Thankful they'd been separated from the world. Thankful they'd been set free from sin. Try making a joyful noise if you can. I've never heard it yet. You've never done it yet. But I guarantee you, as soon as that car comes at you at 80 miles an hour head on, you're going to make a sound louder than you're making tonight. Hallelujah. I guarantee you, as soon as that doctor shakes his head and says, "You're going to die this week," then your praise is going to become something greater than what it is. And your prayer is going to be more fervent than what it's ever been. And if somebody wants you to do something to worship God, it's not just going to be a choir director up here directing you, but it's going to be a spontaneous praise from your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not asking you to be like anybody else. Just let God be first. He's protected you all your life. He's worked with you. He's walked with you. He's been patient with you. He's had grace on you. He's had mercy on you. He's forgiven you over and over. And you want to come in here and just kind of clap your hands like He's entertaining you? He wants somebody to worship Him in spirit. That's small s, spirit. He wants you to take what you got and worship with all of it. your enthusiasm, your excitement, your zeal, your tongue, your hands, your feet. These people had danced before the Lord in the Word of God. They gave it all they had because they were thankful and they wanted to bless His name. The noise they heard on the day of Pentecost was a lot noisier than we've ever dreamed. And the blood that was shed on the old rugged cross was a lot uglier than we've ever imagined. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Preacher, I wish you wouldn't yell like that because it's just too noisy. I can tell you a place is going to be a lot noisier than this. Hell. You know, it's not just about noise. But I read in the Bible, the Word of God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I don't think I've ever heard it in my life yet. But I've heard loud, loud noise at ball games, boxing matches, parties. I heard voices of little groups like this shout loud. I've heard people win prizes and really let out a shout. But I've never been in church where I think they really completely pleased God with that joyful sound. Because you know what? We're a little bit reserved. Even our loud sound has a governor on it. But it's not a governor that God put there. We have, you know, we govern ourselves. I'll only go so far. I'll only do so much. I'll only act a certain way up to a point. What happened to you after you were willing to do whatever it takes to surrender your life and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost? Remember that time when you gave up and surrendered completely and even your tongue started speaking syllables that you didn't put there? And it was so good, so restful, so peaceful. You remember those times when you just went into a laughing spree and you couldn't control it? It was so good and you just laughed and you laughed and you laughed. You remember when you started crying tears of joy and it felt so good and those hands went up and you cried and you cried and you cried. You remember when you danced before the Lord and you couldn't stop dancing. You remember when you woke up in the middle of the night and those hands went up and you couldn't stop praising Him? Where's your God tonight? Hallelujah. Nice little sermon, Brother Rutledge. Enjoyed it. I don't want you to enjoy it. Hallelujah. If I wanted you to enjoy it, I wouldn't preach this one. Thank you, Jesus. See, God's church is not a wait and see what somebody else does church. This is a church where those who are hungry try to be the first one to the table. This is not a church where everybody's polite and let everybody else get ahead. No. The last, the Bible says it this way, the last shall be first. In other words, you might be in the back of the line, but you won't watch up there in the front of this line. Ain't nobody going to hold you back. Be like a little woman with the issue of blood 12 years. She tried everything she could, spent all her money, went to all the doctors. And a big crowd was surrounding Jesus. But she said, but I've got to touch Him. I've got to touch Him. And it didn't matter who was in her way. It didn't matter how far back in the crowd or unnoticed she was. She purposed in her heart she's going to go to the front of that line and go through whatever opposition she has to get through. It didn't matter what mama thought, daddy thought, brothers, sisters, or children thought, or neighbors thought. I've got to touch Him. I've got to touch Him. It didn't matter what they said. It didn't matter how they told her to keep back or how they cursed at her. It didn't matter. I've got to touch Him. And if you come to church with that in your heart, you will touch Him. Hallelujah. But if you come to church deciding to kind of hold back or draw back or wait and see, you won't get there. Because somebody in the back of the line is going to be so hungry, they're going to come right past you and say, let me in on this. Let me in on this. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you were on a desert, if you were on a desert and you were thirsty, what would you do for a drink of water? This is greater than water. Is anybody thirsty tonight? Is anybody hungry tonight? Hallelujah. Hey, you don't have to wait till I'm through to grab this food. Make me get through. Cause me to stop. Overrun this preaching with worship and praise. Drown me out with your worship to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're living in a world when all my friends are backsliding. Their churches are falling apart. I'm talking about true churches. People I've known all my life with big congregations fighting among themselves, not getting along, hating one another, gossiping on one another. Here we are in Norwich, Connecticut, kind of secluded from all that. But when I talk to them, it's the same old thing over and over, no matter where they are in the world. This one's bad. That one's bad. We don't agree. We're having problems. We're falling apart. We're losing everything. I don't want to be part of that mess. If nobody's going to serve Him, I want to serve Him. If nobody's going to keep it going, I want to keep it going. And if you don't want in on it, go ahead. But I want in on this. This is not about Pentecostal or Baptist or Methodist. This is about Jesus being first. Jesus being first. Everything else has to wait. Hallelujah. If Jesus is not first in your life, then no wonder you're going to face a lot of problems tomorrow. Because the answer is here before you tonight. The words that I've been speaking and the Spirit that's coming forth right now is your solution. It's your answer. And until you get this, everything else is vanity. And it'll only make you happy like a drunk person gets happy for a moment. Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. It's not modern to preach this kind of message anymore. But as I look at the modern church, I don't think I want to be modern. If that's what modern is, a form, a program, a quietness, some kind of everybody expects this of you, if that's what it is, I don't want to be a part of this cold, dead funeral stuff. Dead religion. I want to be a part of something that's alive. And I want the report that goes out from Norwich, Connecticut to not be how good we're singing, not be how good we're preaching, not how good we testify, but I want it to be something. My, what an example of praise. What an example of worship. Those people are on fire for God. They can't wait to get up there and pray. They can't wait to raise those hands and praise their God. That's what the whole world needs. That's what all the churches need. That's what all the sinners need. That's what everybody on the internet needs. You need a real church and a real God. And you need the real truth to set you free from sin. Hallelujah. Because you can't get your loved ones saved by giving in to them. If you want them to be saved, you get saved. And that means you're going to have to go against them probably. And maybe even cut yourself loose long enough for they'll see that you meant business. If they don't love you enough to watch you get happy and think that it's nice for you to enjoy life, they don't love you at all. Hallelujah. So you might as well go ahead and grab a new daddy, call him Jesus. Grab a new mama, call him Jesus. Grab a new brother and call him Jesus. Grab a new family and call their name Jesus. Because if there's any hope for your deadbeat loved ones, it's only going to be through Jesus Christ. And you may be the only key to get them set free from sin. So you don't have anything to lose except your whole family by holding back on Jesus. But you've got everything to gain, and possibly even your mama and your daddy and your brothers and your sisters, if you don't hold back on God. That means putting first in your life. family gathering has to wait and see if I've got church at that time. And church comes first. And you give them a call and say, I'm sorry, but you scheduled it at my church time. And nothing is as dear to me as this church that I'm part of. But if they see you break that one time and just show up and miss church, then they will think you're not what you appear to be, and your testimony doesn't ring true. And you tell your boss that you get your job. I go to church on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sundays. And when they say you can't work here, then just walk away and be unemployed. Because Jesus is either that important or he's nothing to you. Nothing wrong with having good things and a lot of money. As long as you don't serve it. And say, this is what I got to do, and I can't go to church. This is what I got to do, and I can't worship God. This is what I got to do, and I can't take part. God said, if you don't want it, I'll find somebody that does. And he'll let you go ahead and make your choice while he invites others who don't have anything to lose. The halt and the maimed, the blind and the sick and the nasty and the homeless. Come on and sit at the table that was prepared for those that had an opportunity, but they made excuses. So go out and tell everybody they're welcome to come. Because some of them don't have such obligations that they have to stay somewhere else. God would rather see a homeless beggar come to church than to hear one person that knows this truth make an excuse to stay out one service. Because your wealth does not impress Jesus. Your job does not impress Jesus. Your family does not impress Jesus. Your kids do not impress Jesus. The only thing that impresses Jesus is your worship and your faithfulness. And when you worship, he's seeking for true worship. Not half-hearted worship. Not fake worship. Not light worship. But give it all you got worship. True worship. Lousy sounding horn is not worth listening to. When somebody plays a trumpet, they need to make it sound like a trumpet, not an old busted airbag of some kind. When somebody sings a song, they need to put their heart into it. Make some air go through those vocal cords. Make some sound come through those lips. Not just not singing. No. And when somebody preaches, they need to preach the Word of God with power in it. And not just say a few words and give you a chance to say a sinner's prayer. And when somebody worships God, it doesn't need to be the little hands lifted halfway. But somebody needs to break free and say, I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what they can haul me away to the insane asylum if they want to. But I'm going to go there praising Him with everything I got. Amen. Hallelujah. Now worship Him tonight, will you? Give Him everything. I'm telling you, if you can worship God in spirit and in truth, you don't have to have much preaching. Hallelujah! Let it ring. Let it roar. Let the heart bring forth some praises to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, we're one of the few churches where we still got power. We're one of a few little groups that still meet in this century that's still able to say hallelujah without fear and without any thought about it. Just let it happen. We're one of the few people left in the world that's willing to be Jesus' name all the way. One God, no Trinity, Jesus' name, speak in tongues, Holy Ghost. You already thought of us crazy, so go ahead and praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and praise Him. Worship Him. God first. Everything else doesn't count unless He is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hey, break free. Break through. Get the barriers down. Kick the wall down. Cross the river. Hallelujah. Get on the mountaintop. This is your night. This is your night. It's not just the sinners that need the Holy Ghost. The church people need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm glad you're my God. I'm glad you're my God, the true God. I'm glad you're my God. Hallelujah. I'm glad, Lord, that I found this way. I'm thankful. I'm thankful you didn't let me be lost before I knew this way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm thankful, Lord, that your answer is so pure, so simple, so easy to find for those of us that become hungry. Thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for it, Jesus. Give us the real Spirit of God. Give us the truth that sets people free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the faith that's in Christ abound in our lives. That when we pray that we see things done, to give God the glory, because your faith moves the mountains. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Don't let this world get you down. Don't let the cares of life drown out the praise that wants to come forth. Hallelujah. Don't let your worries and fears cause you not to have the faith that God has already delivered to you. Let your faith arise. Let your faith arise over all your fears, over all your doubts, over all your problems. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let your enemies be scattered. Your enemies sometimes, your own thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. Mess them up with faith in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Your own fears. Your own anxiety. Those are enemies that need to be kicked out of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Those are not the enemies God wants us to love. Despise those things. Fear, doubt, unbelief. The Word of God says the unbeliever will not inherit the kingdom of God. It also says the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In case you boys and men don't know what that means sissies. And it includes everything that goes with it. The world can say gay is an option. God says it's a reason to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and to send you to hell. So you sissy men and boys, start acting like a man and start praising God and asking for mercy and deliverance from the suggestions of this silly world. God is offended when you try to take your body and cause it to be something He never intended it to be.
Oh, let the praises of Him come out of you tonight.
Thank you,
give Him glory. It's the truth that sets free.
Thank you,
the
Jesus.
Truth that sets free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Him bring you off of a backslidden pew into the glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we love you. We praise your holy name. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for lifting us up by your Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory. Hallelujah, glory. Thank you for deliverance, Lord, from carnality. Lord, from evil things. Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you for turning over the chairs.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you for challenging every heart.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Hallelujah!
Is whiter than snow.
Hallelujah.